Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
All right, folks, welcome to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by Mile High Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter. I'm the site manager over at Denver Stiffs and the host of the Pickaxe and Roll podcast. Make sure to follow the program, subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Trying to grow it as much as we possibly can. And as we hit this off season, and you guys know what I've been doing over the course of these past few weeks. We've been going through a whole bunch of draft prospects and free agency stuff and trade ideas. And I love this time of year because it allows my creative brain and my math brain to kind of flock together a little bit and to be able to share my thoughts and share my ideas. And then so I think a lot of people like to hear those and a lot of people like to talk about the offseason in this way. So I'm going to kind of balance that with some of the normal, like, hey, we got to talk about the Nuggets, we got to talk about the news, but it is always nice to be able to share those thoughts. So if you are interested, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. On this episode, we are going to be discussing initially Tim Connelly. It was updated over the weekend from Adrian Wojnarowski that Tim Connelly was going to go visit in Minnesota and talk to Glenn Taylor, the current owner over there. Obviously, there's a weird ownership thing going on over there, but I think that it's not surprising that Tim Connelly was taking a trip. And then on the second segments, we'll do some draft takes. I did an exercise last night on Twitter that I want to share. And then final segment, we're going to talk about the Warriors a little bit because they definitely deserve some time to be discussed given what they're doing to the rest of the Western Conference. So let's first talk about Tim Connelly, though. Let's talk about what's going on in Minnesota and kind of in Denver right now, because it's pretty clear based off of what's going on in Minnesota that they are looking to add a top-level exec. That's the reporting that's come out of there. And the offers that they're throwing out, this ownership triangle that's going on between the current owner, Glenn Taylor, and the two prospective owners, the guys that are hoping to take over. There's an interesting deal that they're trying to kind of shift ownership into from it being Glenn Taylor to those guys, Mark Lohr, Alex Rodriguez, former very famous baseball player. That triangle is working together right now to try to get a top level executive, to get somebody who can lead their basketball operations and kind of be the face of it. And it's not surprising that they targeted Tim. It's not like, as we talked about on Friday, it's not surprising that they have gone this direction and they are continuing to go this direction. Actually, we talked about this on Thursday. My apologies. But the offer they've thrown out there, it's serious, and it's caused ripples through NBA circles. There was a lot of talk about this at the NBA draft combine, apparently. It was one of those things that if you're an insider, this was kind of the conversation that Tim Connelly, one of the big draft guys, and the Nuggets, kind of one of the best drafting teams, him moving over could be a big thing for the rest of the Western Conference. And it has ripple effects on everybody else. And when you get offered that amount of deal, that amount of money, it's going to make some news. It's going to be a big, big talk. So I'm not surprised that things haven't fully solidified yet. I'm recording this on Monday morning at 10 o'clock. I was waiting to see if, on top of just hanging out with friends last night, I was waiting to see if there would be some news that comes out about Tim over the course of this weekend and into this morning, but nothing has dropped as of 10:12 a.m. But it seems like the ball is in the Nuggets' court, that Minnesota has given their offer. They have discussed various things with Tim. He would have full autonomy on a lot of these decisions and wouldn't necessarily have to go through ownership in order to make like a lot of the final calls on the basketball stuff. And if you've got full autonomy and you've got that open checkbook in a lot of cases, then that seems pretty enticing. In addition, I posted a video on Saturday of the Minnesota Timberwolves revamped training facility. They obviously revamped Target Center, but they have the Mayo Clinic Center, which is kind of a practice facility / basketball operations office for their three teams. And they have the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Lynx, the WNBA affiliate, and the Iowa Wolves, which is the G League team. And so it's very impressive what they've done over there from a basketball operations standpoint. And I'm sure that Tim wouldn't necessarily be opposed to being in an environment like that. That seems like a dream for an exec to be able to lead a building like that and to lead an organization like that. But now Glenn Taylor isn't a great owner. He's been cheap in a lot of different ways, but he did pay for a practice facility. He has paid for these other aspects of his team that are very, very important to kind of establishing the foundations and the culture. And so for me, it seems like Tim Connelly at this point is looking for reasons to stay rather than per se reasons to go. Because there are a lot of reasons to go. Like, it seems like a lot of money. It seems like a really great opportunity for him. And if he could solidify his own life and career and salary and whatnot, then that seems like a really great deal that they're throwing at him. And it's extremely competitive. But Tim's looking for a reason to stay. He wants to be in Denver. He's built relationships here. The process isn't complete. He's asking for a pay raise, and that's not surprising given that he wasn't making nearly as much as what he's being offered right now to go to Minnesota. But he's not asking for the moon. He's not asking for an insane amount of money on his contract. He's just asking to be paid competitively. And like, he just wants to be valued. I think everybody sort of has that feeling that if you're Tim and you've done such a great job here in establishing this culture, keeping everything together through thick and thin, and think about what's happened with injuries over the course of this last 14 months. Lesser teams and lesser cultures would have crumbled in this situation. We've seen those teams crumble in this situation. The Brooklyn Nets absolutely shattered into a million pieces multiple times. the Nuggets are a team that has stayed together, similar to the Warriors, similar to the Thunder, through their massive amounts of turmoil, and not turmoil, but they had Kevin Durant leave them, and Sam Presti is still there. And the reason Sam Presti is still there is because it's pretty clear that he's very good at his job. Bob Myers in Golden State, same thing. Masai Ujiri, clearly very good at his job. Tim Connelly, also clearly very good at his job. No wonder he wants to be valued. But he also wants other reasons to stay. He also wants Nuggets ownership to treat him with that respect. And so when you're Tim, and back in 2019, you are being courted by the Washington Wizards, and you make certain requests of ownership, one being a practice facility for the team. And then 3 years later, when you're being courted again, that practice facility isn't anywhere close to manifesting. That's a promise that has fallen through. That's not necessarily in a contract that it was going to happen, but he was promised a practice facility. He wanted that for the Nuggets. He wanted a better revamped facility for the Nuggets to get better, a better training room, a better weight room, things like that. It's like what most NBA teams have nowadays. Instead, the Nuggets are still practicing out of the same high school gym and same middle school weight room that they've had since the year 2000. It's just we're out of those times now. This is just not how things are done anymore in professional sports. If you are an elite team, if you are an elite franchise, you get the best of the best. And if the Nuggets want to be treated that way, then they should have the best of the best too. I don't think it's an unreasonable request for Tim Connelly to be making here. But the entire saga right now, the entire saga, comes down to honestly whether the Nuggets are willing to pay up, because it's why I have questions of them paying the tax. It's why I have questions about why they did a hybrid G League team that's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as opposed to something that was closer to Denver that might have been more expensive to run, but would have been better for the Nuggets organization. That was a money move. They were pressured into getting a G League team, and so they found the cheapest possible way to do it. It's why coaches and front office personnel are constantly leaving for jobs and for raises, jobs that will pay them more. Ownership has an opportunity to change the narrative on this if they want to. They just might simply not care. They have other things that are on their minds. They have other business ventures. They've got other money-making endeavors that might come before a Nuggets practice facility or Tim Connelly's happiness or things like that. A report came out some time back that Nuggets ownership, KSE, who had bought up Elitch Gardens and the parking lots behind Ball Arena, that they were looking to develop those into an apartment complex, into a really, really nice looking apartment complex. And I'd love to live there. It's probably going to cost $4,000 a month in order to live in a place like that. But it seemed like a nice thing for them to be doing to make the environment nicer. And there would be some nice property value that is associated with that. But it doesn't look like a Nuggets practice facility is in those plans. It doesn't look like the Nuggets are really factored into that decision. It's more of just making money at that point and being smart with your business. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for KSE. It's bad for the Nuggets. They could definitely use that. But I don't think it's in the cards. And I just don't think that there's a lot of room for error on this one, because I don't think that Tim is going to willingly just say, oh yeah, you'll get to it when you get to it. It doesn't feel like ownership has the full, like, they're backing the Nuggets fully. It's not like they're wildly invested in the Denver Nuggets' success at this point. And it's why I'm now predicting Tim Connelly to leave. I think he's probably going to go. I felt differently before the weekend. I felt differently before this report and before I had heard some things. It's not just about the money and the salary. It's just about the franchise's commitment to winning, and the willingness to pay for winning. Because the best franchises in the NBA are the ones that are willing to invest in their people and are the ones that are willing to invest in their space. And making sure that those people have the best chance to succeed that they possibly can. The Nuggets are not at their best right now. If they had a full-on practice facility and a full-on basketball office, rather than just working within the arena in kind of the dark alcoves where they usually are, things would be a little bit different. I do think that the Nuggets have an opportunity to turn it around, that if they were willing to commit, if the ownership group was willing to commit to giving Tim Connelly what he wants, then Tim would stay. There's no doubt. And that doesn't necessarily come down to a massive contract bump for him. He would, I mean, if I were him, I'd be looking for a massive contract bump because that is life-changing money, of course. But Tim doesn't seem like a money-driven guy. He wants to compete, he wants to win, and he wants to do it with the people that he cares about. And he clearly cares about the Nuggets organization greatly. He wants to be here. He doesn't necessarily want to go. Like I said, he wants to finish what he started. It's so rewarding. But if he has to continue to put up with the roadblocks, then that might be a reason to leave. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk NBA draft, and we're going to talk Nuggets fans' NBA draft takes. We will be right back. All right, back at it, pickaxe and roll. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support, as always, on the program. Wanted to share my thoughts on the NBA draft now, and I'm going to combine a couple of segments into one here. This will be the bulk of the podcast. I want to talk about what Nuggets fans want, what they are hoping for the Nuggets fans, or for the Nuggets, to do in the NBA draft. There's been a lot of discussion on trading up. There's been a lot of discussion on trading down, on trading out of the pick and finding a potential upgrade on the wing using the 2022 draft pick. And I think all of those possibilities are still viable. But what I wanted to do on Twitter was I wanted to share an opportunity for people to basically do an impromptu survey. Who do you want the Nuggets to draft with the 21st overall pick? That was what I asked. I got several responses, and I recorded those findings, all of those responses, and I'm going to share them now. Got 134 separate votes, and there were some people that listed multiple players. What I basically did was I took the player that they listed first. The player that, if you gave me a list of three names that you wanted the Nuggets to draft, because I asked for one, but if you gave me three, I just added the first one that was listed. I sifted through some of the other stuff and ultimately came out with 134 total votes, which is great. That's a pretty sizable number for a good survey for who Nuggets fans are looking at, what they would prefer. So let's dive in. 134 total votes, 38 total players. That is a lot of guys. That is a lot of different players that you could draft at 21st overall. And I got names as that were kind of ranked as highly as Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith. Those guys are not drafting the 21st overall. Like, they're not dropping there. They're probably going 1 and 2 respectively. And I got some names that were kind of off the board, like Adis Toney, who's another good wing that Vince Williams, who is a teammate of Bones Highland's at VCU. There's other guys that I got that aren't necessarily in the top 75 or the top 100 of various big boards, but I included them anyway. 38 total names, 134 total votes. The leading vote getter by far, with 25 out of 134 votes, was Nikola Jovic. I'm not really surprised by that. We have a large Serbian following, and anytime you get somebody with the name that's as close to Nikola Jokic as you possibly could, that is going to draw some attention. And so some of the responses definitely were memed. Like, there's a lot of people that want the Nuggets to draft Jovic because he sounds so close to Jokic. And that's really the only reason. It's not necessarily from a competition standpoint. It's more of a, wow, they've got Jovic and Jokic. That's pretty cool. And there is something to that. I also think that Jovic is, he's likely to be a good NBA player. I don't see, he's a good passer. He's a smart player. He seems like a guy that could definitely at least be a backup forward. Like somebody who is going to help out other team or help out a team within their rotation and be a potentially helpful connector piece. Is he going to be a starter? I don't know. Is he going to be a star? Probably not. Is he going to be a bust? Maybe. But 25 out of 134 votes when 38 total players were offered up by Nuggets fans, that is a sizable contingent. And it's more than double each of the next two names, Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Williams, both wings. Some people list Jalen Williams as a forward. He's really a true small forward, which I consider still a wing. But he's like 6'6", and definitely still makes sense to me as a wing prospect. But both of those guys, along with Marjon Beauchamp, were the only other names to accumulate double-figure vote counts. And that's not surprising. Those are three of the names that have really popped for Nuggets fans as potential wing options that could really assist the Nuggets as soon as next season. All three of those guys have different characteristics that would help Denver. Ochai Agbaji is basically your stereotypical 3-and-D guard who can really help out a team by just spacing the floor and defending. He would be helpful. Jalen Williams, he went under the radar at Santa Clara, and I went down the rabbit hole of sort of profiling him, of trying to figure out just how good he was, and I came away with the belief that he's a lottery talent, not just somebody who could be a first rounder. He was off the board, off the first round board for a lot of people. Seems like he's going to be rising. It seems like he's going to rise up into at least the 20s and potentially into the teens. I doubt that he goes top 10, but it does seem like he definitely helped himself out at the draft combine. That was a big story there. And he's like 6'6 with a 7'2 wingspan. That's insane. That is an insane measurement for a wing. So that's like no doubt he's going to get some looks now. And plus he tested pretty well athletically too. And then you've got Marjon Beauchamp, who was for the G League Ignite this past year. He's 21 years old. One of the guys that I thought, okay, this seems like a very reasonable pick for any team looking for a defensive wing. He may not be the most athletic wing out there. There are less athletic wings, by the way. But he does have that 6'7 length. I'm pretty sure he tested with a 7-foot wingspan, like at least 7 foot. And he has good defensive instincts. He's somebody that you want as both an on-ball and off-ball defender. And Denver could absolutely use that. They could absolutely use the length. All of these guys, including Agbaji, have good length. And the length and athleticism on the wing is probably the most important thing that the Nuggets could be looking for. Here are other names that Nuggets fans said that they wanted. And by the way, so Nikola Jovic had 25 votes. Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Williams each had 12. Marjon Beauchamp had 11. And so this is out of 134 total votes. Those are the only four names that had double digits. The next four guys that had in between 5 and 8, David Roddy with 8, Christian Brown with 8, Kendall Brown with 7, and Tari Eason with 5. Different mix, I think, here. I think Tari Eason is probably going to be selected before 21. Kendall Brown, possibly the same thing. David Roddy, definitely more of a local guy and somebody that Nuggets fans, because he's at Colorado State, definitely would hope to be acquiring. I don't necessarily have a first-round grade on David Roddy. I think that he's a guy that could potentially help Denver if they were to trade down, but he has enough weaknesses and isn't really the position that they're looking for, in my opinion. He's more of a four. He's more of somebody that is going to play a PJ Tucker-style role. He is a smart guy, which is probably one of the more important things that Denver can add. But given that they already have Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and Zeke Nnaji, all three are probably best at power forward, it's just not the position that I would personally emphasize. I would be looking more for a wing. Christian Brown, definitely a wing here, definitely a possibility, but he also has a negative wingspan. I think he measured at 6'7 in shoes and with a 6'6 wingspan. That is not good. That is not what you would be hoping for from a defensive playmaker standpoint. He did test well and did perform well in college as an on-ball defender, and he's a smart defender. He's somebody that moves his feet really well, and that's what he's going to have to do at the NBA level in order to maximize that. But is he the guy that I would personally draft over Agbaji, Jalen Williams, Marjon Beauchamp? No, I wouldn't. I would prefer those other guys, but it's also possible that those three are off the board. And by the way, Nikola Jovic, I personally would not select him. It's not because he isn't good, but like I talked about, he's a power forward with Roddy. Jovic is a power forward. He's somebody that isn't going to be able to get on the floor as quickly as people would hope. And I would just be a little bit worried about Denver's ability to play defense with him and Jokic together. And Denver's looking to improve their defense, their playoff defense especially. They have the offense. I'm not sure that they need somebody that can really help out defensively. So you've got Jovic at 25, Ochai Agbaji with 12, Jalen Williams with 12, Marjon Beauchamp with 11, David Roddy with 8, Christian Brown with 8, Kendall Brown, who's a Baylor wing. More of a forward than a wing, honestly, but he's 6'8", he's extremely athletic. Jeremy Sochan is in the next tier, and he's more of a kind of power forward type, but it does seem to me like both of those guys from Baylor are going to be drafted pretty high. And you've got in the next tier down that what Nuggets fans are hoping to draft a 21st overall, you've got Wendell Moore Jr., Johnny Davis, Jeremy Sochan, and Bryce McGowans. Those are the only guys with at least 3 votes among the remaining list. So I just listed 12 names, pretty much. And there were 38 total players that were listed. So 26 players had in between 1 and 2 votes. And so the other guys with 2 were Jalen Duren, Mark Williams, both bigs, Jabari Walker, a CU guy, and EJ Liddell, who's also at Ohio State. I profiled Malachi Branham for Ohio State. He wasn't actually voted on at all. And I'm kind of surprised by that because I think he's pretty talented. He's not as good of a defender, but he is positionally helpful for Denver. And then Dalen Terry, who is at Arizona, along with Benedict Mathurin, the better wing of the two. And Vince Williams, who, like I said, played with Bones Highland at VCU. So I thought this was an interesting exercise for a number of reasons. And so it's a good way to kind of help gauge where the Nuggets fan base is at, what they're looking for. Everybody seems to be, or not everybody, but a lot of people seem to be high on Nikola Jovic. They think that he's going to be an extremely helpful player. And it's also sort of a good fit, obviously, between him and Jokic and the Serbian connection. And there's a lot of reasons to opt into that, by the way. Like, could Nikola Jovic be the new Vlatko Čančar? And then you kind of fill out the other, that the 15th roster spot, the one that Vlatko was kind of filling out, you could add somebody else in. And at least Jovic would be a little bit more helpful, I think, and a little bit more talented in general to get better and potentially help out Denver in the long run. But that might be a reason why Nuggets fans are hoping to do that. I don't think so. I think it's more for meme potential. But I also calculated the votes by position. And out of the 134 total votes, only 4 votes went to guards. Nuggets fans definitely not looking at guards right now. The highest vote are there were 4 guards that were listed: Hugo Besson, Jean Montero, Alondis Williams, and Trevor Keels. Those were the 4 guards that were listed in this survey. There were only 9 big votes. As I mentioned before, you had Jalen Duren and Mark Williams. They each had 2. Kai Soto, Kenny Lofton Jr., Walker Kessler, Chet Holmgren, shout out Jake Shapiro, and Kofi Cockburn were the other 5 bigs that were also listed. The majority of the votes, 64 out of the 134, were given to wings, and then 57 out of 134 were given to forwards. Nuggets fans, I think, are very much on the, we've got the guards solidified, we have Nikola Jokic at the big man position, let's draft a quality wing, let's draft a quality forward. And so I think Nuggets fans are pretty much all on the same page there. It's more about what is in between Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic long term. Because you've got Monte Morris and Bones Highland in the backcourt. That seems like, even if Denver makes some trades and makes some alterations, they have the talent there. And then if you're DeMarcus Cousins and you re-sign in Denver, then there's definitely a possibility that the Nuggets are just set at the big man spots. They don't need any more bigs. Now, I still don't think that's true, and I think that they could potentially get somebody that doubles as a forward and a big, or maybe it's just a more versatile big than what Boogie's doing. But I do think that Nuggets fans are pretty much on the same page where get the 6'6 guy, get the 6'8 guy, get the 6'10 guy, whoever you got to get, just somebody that is a versatile, athletic player that can help out Denver on either the offensive end, the defensive end, but hopefully both. And I'm not surprised that the Nuggets fans are kind of in this frame of mind. Last thing before we go to a break. I'm listing out my top wing options in the draft right now. This is Denver's biggest weakness. This is where I would focus. I would focus on the wings over the forwards personally, because I think that there are more forwards that Denver could get on free agency, fewer wings that they can get in free agency in general that are extremely talented. Like, they can get a wing for relatively cheap that is going to be a potential 15 to 20 minute guy, but they're not going to be able to get a 30 minute guy, in my opinion. So this is the biggest weakness for Denver, and here are the wings in my mind that are the best. And some of these guys Denver's obviously not going to be able to draft, but I've got Shaedon Sharpe at the top, Benedict Mathurin, Dyson Daniels, AJ Griffin, Johnny Davis, Malachi Branham, Marjon Beauchamp, Ochai Agbaji, Jalen Williams, Wendell Moore, Dalen Terry, Christian Brown, Blake Wesley of Notre Dame, Bryce McGowan's, and Max Christie. Those are the top, I think, what did I list, like 15 or so? Let's just count this really quick. 3, 6, 9, 12. Yeah, top 15 wings. And some of those guys are going to be off the board. Like, I think everybody after or before Jalen Williams is definitely going to be off the board. If Marjon Beauchamp is on the board, I think Denver should take him. If Malachi Branham is on the board, I think Denver should take him. I'm surprised he got no votes. I just profiled him for Denver Stiffs. You should go read that. And I'm just kind of surprised that not as many people are as excited about Malachi Branham, because he's an extremely talented player from a shooting perspective. But I do think that if Denver has their pick of the litter between guys like Jalen Williams, Wendell Moore, Dalen Terry, Christian Brown, I think the guy that they should take is Jalen Williams. I think that Wendell Moore is probably the next guy. Dalen Terry after that, and Christian Brown after that. None of the others I would really take with a first-round pick. I'm not even sure I would really take Christian Brown with a first-round pick. I'm very concerned about his wingspan. I'm very concerned about the physical traits. If he's good enough, then he's good enough. And maybe that he proves me wrong, because he does seem like a high basketball IQ guy, a high level of defensive positioning. But I think that Denver just needs more tools. They need guys that can make plays and be physically imposing on the wing. They've been so small. Like, they've got Austin Rivers if they're looking for a positional defender, somebody that isn't going to get a lot of steals, but is more so just going to be in the grill of whoever he's guarding. And that's good enough. That's mostly fine. But you need the athletic, physical, lengthy guys. That is like the 2-3, not just the 2. So if it were up to me, I would draft Marjon Beauchamp and Oshai Agbaji and Jalen Williams and Wendell Moore and any of those guys. I think all of them are very valuable. All of them are viable targets. And I think the Nuggets are pretty much in the same boat as me. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Golden State Warriors, who are seemingly crushing the competition right now. We'll be right back. We're back. Pickaxe and Roll final segment here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's talk in and wrap this podcast up by talking about the Golden State Warriors. They are up 3-0 right now over the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, who just bested the Phoenix Suns in 7 games. Phoenix ultimately proved to be fraudulent. Although I actually, like, it was just so weird with the way the Phoenix lost and then sort of devolved in that last game that I still think that they had the talent to win the title and probably should have won the title this year. But they just were dominated by a better player and didn't have, like, their top guys just didn't match, which is very, very odd. That's not what I would have expected from, actually it is what I would have expected from Chris Paul. Let's be honest. But the Warriors, kind of independent of that, have gone through the playoffs now, and they, after making the Nuggets look pretty foolish in the first round, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies in 6 games, although that was definitely aided by the fact that Ja Morant was out. Did they lose by 50 in one of those games? Yes, the Golden State Warriors lost by 50 in Game 5. They were up 3-1. They were clearly not very pressed. It was definitely within their prerogative to do that. But Kevon Looney comes out and has the game of his life in Game 6, and you move on. Then you move into the Western Conference Finals, and the Warriors have been there before. The Mavericks obviously have not. And Luka Doncic is being guarded and harassed by Andrew Wiggins, of all people. And Wiggins and Kevon Looney and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and everybody in between, like, Stephen Curry is having a really good defensive year as well. Like, those guys are just making his life hell. They are making his life extremely difficult, and the Warriors are now up 3-0 in the series against the Mavericks, who, like I said, beat the freaking Phoenix Suns in 7 games, and the Warriors are just out here clowning people. They're making this look easy. They've lost 3 total games in the playoffs so far. They're 11-3. And the way that they are performing, it certainly seems like they are on a crash course to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. And that'll make it three straight years that the Nuggets have now lost to the Western Conference Finals winner. The team that has represented the West in the NBA Finals. That is the team that Denver has lost to the last three seasons. They lost to the Lakers in the bubble. They lost to the Phoenix Suns last year. And they lost to the Warriors this year. So it certainly seems like Denver's gotten kind of a rough draw in a lot of cases. For example, had they been the four seed last year and won against whoever the five seed was. Who was the five seed? It was Utah. No. Maybe it was the Clippers. I think it was the Clippers. Like, let's say the Clippers had been the three seed and the Nuggets had been the four seed. And so the Nuggets move on from that first round series and they beat the Mavericks in the first round. And then they face the Utah Jazz in the second round. And we know that the Nuggets can definitely beat the Utah Jazz. There was no question about that. Would they have, given that they didn't have Murray, that Barton was out for a little bit, that Monte was still recovering, that they didn't have PJ Dozier, they probably still would have lost. But it does sort of seem like Denver's gotten kind of unlucky with the teams that they've ultimately faced in their Western Conference, in the Western Conference playoffs this year. There's definitely some school of thought there that the Nuggets are not necessarily getting unlucky, but just that the results that they've had over the course of these last 2 years aren't as bad as they seem. That they just happen to run into elite teams at the wrong time. And I did make this point that, like, I don't remember exactly when this was, maybe it was a couple nights ago, that it just seems like every team in the NBA right now is at the same tier. Every team in the playoffs, there's no juggernaut, there are no awful teams left in the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference. You kind of weed out the fat a little bit, and what's been left is there's just a lot of teams that I would kind of grade as like 50 to 52 win teams, and that's where most of these teams were, honestly. There wasn't a juggernaut. The only juggernaut was the Phoenix Suns, and I think the Celtics in the Eastern Conference have that potential, and I think the Milwaukee Bucks had that potential before they kind of had their wing position really run dry, and they also let PJ Tucker go. So there was potential for a Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals rematch between the Bucks and the Suns, and that's what I sort of expected at the beginning of these playoffs. I didn't really expect anybody else other than possibly the Celtics to be able to crash that party. Now, it looks like the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors are probably going to be the two teams that represent. Those are just very interesting. It's very, very interesting to see how these playoffs have really surprised a whole bunch of people. And yet the Miami Heat, the top seed in the East, is the team that's representing. And the Warriors, the number three seed, they could have been the number two. They could have been the number one, but they got injured throughout the regular season. They were clearly an elite team when they were healthy, and now they're healthy. And what stands out about the Warriors is that they've just got so much depth. They've got so many options. They've cultivated so many of those options through their injuries that they have guys like Andrew Wiggins who can step up at different points. They have guys like Jordan Poole who's coming off the bench for them and still playing like an all-star at various points. He doesn't have to every time because they've got Steph and Klay and Draymond, but he's still playing really well. And a guy like Kevon Looney, who looks like a potential Western Conference Finals MVP, was played off the floor by Nikola Jokic. Like, he could not stay on the floor versus Denver when Nikola Jokic was out there because Jokic would target him every single time. It was very interesting. And so if you're Denver, and you know that you're getting back Jamal Murray and Michael Porter next year, you have to feel reasonably good, knowing that the perceived juggernaut that was the Phoenix Suns is definitely no longer a juggernaut. There's no feeling anymore that they are unbeatable. With the way that they've gone out in each of the last two postseasons, where they kind of crumbled when things went bad, you just got to hit them with the uppercut a couple times and they'll probably crumble. That's how a lot of teams feel. That's how Patrick Beverley certainly feels. So if you're Denver, you can feel like you have a pretty good chance going forward. It doesn't, like, it's not necessarily going to be massive. Like, you could still feel pretty good, but you have to get better. Like, that's how I would probably describe Denver's offseason now. Like, getting back Jamal Murray and Michael Porter isn't going to be enough. You still have to revamp that wing position. But if you can do that, and you get back those guys, it's hard not to feel pretty good. It's hard not to feel like you can do a lot of different things. So, that's kind of the perspective that I'm at right now. It seems a little bit, like, disingenuous to talk about the Nuggets and how they... You feel fine about them losing to the Warriors in five because other teams are losing to the Warriors in five or six or four. But it does seem true that Denver, without two of their top three guys, was in that position. They've just got to fill a couple of the holes, and then maybe they get there. Ultimately, it's about trusting your talent. It's about trusting whether Nikola Jokic can get you over the top, whether Jamal Murray can get you over the top. And they've done that in the past, or at least gotten pretty close. Denver's roster back then wasn't really prepared for the Los Angeles Lakers. Had they had Aaron Gordon at that point, maybe it would be different. Maybe not. Maybe Denver just wasn't ready. But they're now ready. I think they are mentally prepared. Nikola Jokic especially is mentally prepared for what it takes to win a title. He's also just so much more confident and better than he was those 2 years ago. So I am very curious to see how Denver approaches this offseason for that reason. If they aren't aggressive, I'll be pretty disappointed. But I do think that these playoffs should now have Denver feeling better about where they are. It's just if they make those last couple of moves, then that pushes them over the top. All right. That is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by Mile High Sports. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support, as always. I'll be back on Wednesday. Not sure if I'm going to keep up with this morning recording time. I do kind of like it. It helps start the day a little bit better. But I am going to think about that, and we'll break down all of the necessary info when it comes out. Should be fun. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection. infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.